Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love. Well,
I do like starting it with a sigh.
Yeah, I hope our listeners are sighing with us and
sigh along with us. Sigh along
join
with
the,
us. In 2020.
Join the movement.
What's up?
Well,
how are you?
I'm hiding right now.
Oh yeah.
So
from who? Yeah. From whom?
My boss.
Oh, actually, for real?
Yeah, I'm just taking a little break in my 14-hour day schedule to make this recording. This week is going to be mayhem. Let me tell you something. I have to get up. I finish filming at 7 p.m. I take a 2-hour drive to Tignish, which is 2 hours away,
yep.
And then go to bed and get up and get on a fishing boat at 4 in the morning. Next week, this week. And that's just
4
one.
In the morning? Why?
That's just one turnaround. Because that's when they leave to fish lobster. Yeah, we're filming a lobster commercial. I'm not going to say that it's the most glamorous job, but I am working with people that I like. So I'm grateful for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're making some money too. That's kind of nice. That's a nice thing to have a job that you make money at.
I am grateful for that. And I am grateful for my boss who starts the day by asking what we're grateful for. So that's
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm grateful for?
What are you grateful for, baby?
You're going to be home soon. I'm grateful for that.
Know.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm also grateful for this week's episode because I'm trying to keep it really cool so that you can really hear my excitement when the episode starts. But I mean, you probably already read it in the show notes. But we're speaking today with like kind of a dream guest for me. It has been for A few years now. Yeah. Zoe Ligon. Rhymes with friggin'. I'll never forget that. She's a sexual educator and writer and sex shop owner and just all around
entrepreneur, businesswoman.
Like could be a comedian. Yeah, I'm just really, really fucking stoked for this conversation. But before we get into it, let's handle some business, Bridie.
Okay. Well, you know, I there's a lot going on and everything. And, I just would like to say that I've remembered that in my high school years when I would get like, I don't know why I didn't have an alarm. I was before cell phones, but when I was in high school, my room was in the basement and my stepmom or my dad would open the door to the basement and they'd just be like, time to get up. You know, and then I would stay in bed for like another half an hour and like masturbate. That was how I started every day at high school. And then I was kind of like, you know, these 14-hour days are sort of like killing my self-care time. So
you masturbated every single day in high school?
I mean, I went back and clocked it on the calendar. I don't know, but it was a part of my daily routine.
It was a part of your routine. Yeah. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. It was more of a procrastination situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not wanting to get out of bed.
There's a word for that. Procrastination. That's it. took me a second to get that out there. I'm still half asleep.
You were going some neat places there. But I've remembered that is a kind of a nice way to start the day. And so I've been getting up, you know, at my like 5 a.m. time to get ready for work and just like excusing myself out to the living room, which I share with my friends, but they don't listen to this podcast, so that's fine. And just like enjoying
You're having a wank out there.
On the couch. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't want to wake up Todd. So.
Yeah, sure. I get it. Yeah. Yeah. I've been having a lot of sex. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was taking a shower yesterday and I was like, Jesus, I haven't masturbated in a long time. That's a weird feeling because I mean, you know, for COVID, all of COVID, my right forearm. If you wanted to see this, you can go to patreon.com/turnmeon and you can see how jacked up my right forearm is because we are now publishing our video recordings of our foreplays. But you know, I look like Popeye right there. I don't know if you can see this, Bridie, but. Jesus, goddamn, I look good there, eh? Anyway, I was masturbating a lot during quarantine, and it became, like, I guess my daily routine. It became a part of, like, several of my daily routines, you know? It was a multiple time a day affair.
Okay, copy. Yeah.
And, but as of late, I actually don't remember the last time I've done it by myself. I've been having a lot of sex, but I've been having a lot. This would be interesting little thing. I've been making a lot of love. The sex has been very different as of late.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of love making. Not much making fuck. It's been a lot of like making love.
A lot of
Barry Manilow type shit, you know?
Oh, interesting. Has your Smang It playlist changed then?
No, I haven't. I haven't played.
Love? You've been making silent
actually,
love?
Actually, I had sex with some instrumental Andrew Bird the other day. Oh, my God. Yeah. So that kind of shit. That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
The phrase making love used to make me so uncomfortable.
I know.
But I get it. I know what you're talking
about. You
know
what I'm talking about though, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. That's kind of all I've been doing lately. And it's so nice. Mm-hmm. Not that I haven't been made, not that I don't, like I'm not used to making love. But, you know, I read this really interesting Actually, it was from the our good pals over at Momgasm podcast. Okay. If you haven't listened to Momgasm, they're a couple of wonderful women from here in Halifax who host a podcast. It's two moms. They, you know, self-proclaimed juicy
foul
as fuck.
Mouthed.
Juicy as fuck. But they made this really nice, they made this post the other day. I'm going to read it because it got me thinking. And I think it kind of relates to what we're talking about right now. Momgasm podcast, follow the woman on Instagram. Can performance be part of your pleasure? I think for lots of us, it can. There's something delightful and tantalizing about putting on a show and pulling the strings for your audience, being in some semblance of control. Maybe it's the extrovert in me, or maybe it's something we all experience in some regard. But what happens when we lose ourselves in performance and allow it to take place of our pleasure? We need to remember that our pleasure is primarily our responsibility, and so is the pleasure of our partners. We need to be in constant communication with ourselves, just like we aim to be with our lovers. In the same way you check in with them, we need to check in with ourselves. For me, it's been incredibly helpful to be in the habit of asking myself simple questions like, am I open to experiencing pleasure right now? Do I feel like sharing my pleasure, or do I want it for myself? Am I in a giving or receiving mood? What am I feeling in my body, and what am I ready to feel more of? Would it turn me on to perform for my partner right now, or do I need something else? Getting in the habit of slipping into presence with myself before and after engaging with sex has been one of the greatest ways to show up as I am. I'm always rediscovering or uncovering more about myself, which allows me to enjoy things more fully. Why? Because I'm showing up with my pleasure at the forefront as much as I am for my partners when I share. Wink. Let me know in the comments, blah, 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 blah. And that was from Lindsay from the podcast. But it made me think about performance and sex and how performance has played a role in the sex that I've been having over the last few years. And I don't think I truly don't think I have a healthy relationship with performance and sex. Like I think I toe that line pretty well, but I don't actively think about it, and it hasn't really been Jesus, I'm so sorry, everyone. It hasn't really been until recently that I've been thinking about that, in the sense that I'm noticing how a lot of the performance of my sex has sort of fallen by the wayside with this like new mode of fucking that I've found myself in, which is like really intense lovemaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It is nice. But there is a part of me that's like, oh, I don't want to lose that though. I don't want to lose my, you know, I don't want to lose that side. It reminds me of this. It reminds me when I went to theater school. I think you might be able to like relate to this. When I started at Ryerson at theater school, we weren't doing anything funny. Like it was all dramatic mm-hmm. shit for the first, you know, for the first good chunk of time. And I was coming from an improv background. And I remember like at the end of first year, like partway through second year, I remember thinking to myself like, oh, I'm not going to be funny anymore.
Right.
Like the funny side of me as a performer or as a person is going to dissipate because I'm solely focused so hard on realism and dramaticism. And I felt like, oh, I'm going to lose this like part of me that I hold very dear to myself, which is like being a clown, being a jokester, being really, you know, being immature. And no, obviously that wasn't the case. And like, I still think I'm pretty funny.
You're funnier than ever.
Yeah. Have you seen these arms, by the way? Funny and jacked, right? So... So I know that in having that thought that came up of like, ooh, I'm all this lovemaking, like I'm going to lose that sort of
your showmanship.
Yeah. That like that dominant side of myself, or that, you know, like, yeah, that sort of performative side of myself that comes out in sex that is really fun.
Mm. Yeah.
But I know that's not the case. I know that's not the reality.
It's interesting because I think it's making me think, like, at the beginning of a new sexual relationship, when it's a little easier to, like, be different than you've ever been before, because this person has no knowledge of you. And then, well, at least in my experience, that, like, eventually that there's it feels less free to, like, explore and do things out of the ordinary. Like, maybe it puts your partner in their head, like, why is she acting like this, and this isn't her, and blah blah blah. And it's just a really interesting thing about getting into a relationship, or like a consistent monogamous sexual relationship, where eventually it's like, what corner have I painted myself into, in a way?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And like, and if you go so long without tapping into that, like, to one particular side of yourself, and then all of a sudden that side comes out, you know, like, what's the reaction going to be? Like, and then you get, mm-hmm. and then of course it's all about getting in your head and sort mm-hmm. of, like, you know, you're this voice in your head where you're kind of fucking yourself over.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm in such a weird position right now, because this is the first time in a long time where I'm really loving the whole lovemaking thing. You know, okay. I'm loving that kind of, like, that kind of sexual play.
Yeah, it's like a different kind of dance.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, it really makes me think a lot about that quote that has come up so many times on the show, that Esther Perel quote of, like, sex is a place that we go. It's not mm-hmm. something we do, it's a place that we go.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like I'm going to this very familiar but not so well worn path, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's really nice.
Yeah. I'm spending a lot of time at work, more time than I have in a long time, like more than I have in a really long time.
Right.
And, allowing for way less time for any friction in the relationship. And, you know, so it's become much more affectionate and cuddly and whatnot in the last little bit, because
when you said friction, I was like,
I know, oh. I know.
Friction? Yeah.
No, because I'm using my Intamo pleasurables.
Hey, nice drop.
Lube, thanks.
Nice.
Yeah, loving it. And, like, you know, it's so nice and it's so pretty and the bottle's so pretty and it's like, oh, you know, it's like a, you know, I don't buy a lot of lube. I don't buy a lot of toys. I don't like any toys, you know? And so it's like, it's a part of my personality to sort of, like, well, I don't want to, like, use it all up. But, like, now even in my, like, my own personal pleasure time, I'm like, I'm taking the nice stuff, you know? It's all good. It's right. All for me.
What do you, speaking of toys, what do you think, what do you think about, what do you think about buying toys for a partner? And is there like a too soon window for that? Or like, and you know, like, how do you do that? How do you go about doing that as, like, a surprise?
Yeah.
Without talking about it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. I think, like, is it a toy for the two of you? Is it a toy for just them? You know, like,
right.
Do you have an idea of, like, is the toy that you're going to buy for them as a surprise potentially not going to go over very well?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Have you tested those waters? You know, there's lots of questions to be considered there. I think if your partner is into vibrators, then great, buy them a vibrator, and just, like, that's a nice toy, because vibrators are expensive. But if you're buying something for the two of you to use together, you can be like, I'm just pulling this out of my ass right now, but, like, what does this toy say about the type of sexual encounter you want to have? Like, are you buying, like, a ball gag, or are
right,
you,
right.
you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't, yeah. It's a good question. I don't know.
You surprise.
Know. What, yeah, yeah. Well, what if the person you're buying for is like, I don't even know. I don't know toys. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know what I like or what I don't like. You know.
I mean, then like a lot of like Zoe said, she's got like a collection of vibrators. You know, you just don't know until you have something to try.
Until you give it a go. That's right. Yeah. 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 Again, Zoe Ligon is going to be our guest on the show a little bit later. And holy shit, what a wealth of knowledge. You know. I love being able to sit down with someone and just go, all right, cool. We're going to fire a bunch of questions and without
mostly
hesitation.
Mostly let you lead.
Yeah, and just let you go for it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just so wonderful. I'm really excited super. For all y'all to hear it. But before we do, let's hit a brain boner and get into that world.
Here's one. Here's one for you. First things first, I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Really, thank you. And it means a lot. And we really enjoy your writing. So thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. Those words were really great.
Okay, this email came in September.
Oh, there's more. Sorry.
September 3rd. Oh, my God. I was like in my head thinking it was still March. Okay, but no. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. So I'm a 22-year-old virgin. Well, actually, I'm about to lose my virginity with my first boyfriend, who is also in his first serious relationship. There are so many questions that I can think of, but one thing I'm dying to ask about is this. My boyfriend and I are usually great at communicating. We believe that being open and honest and stumbling through the awkwardness of this new relationship is not something to shy away from. My problem is that I am nervous about being open with him, with the deeper parts of who I am. I guess what I'm asking is how to let yourself be vulnerable enough to trust someone completely. Is this a me problem? Do other people have this problem? I'm nervous that once I actually open up and become more vulnerable, that it gives him the power to use it against me later or to look at me and say, you know what? Never mind, actually, and leave. Do you have any advice on this topic? Love you lots, LP. The first thing that comes to mind for me, so I used to run yoga teacher trainings, and we'd have all of our teacher trainees present present on a topic for 10 minutes, and they would pre-prepare it. And one of the questions that was always on the list of options was, why are so many people afraid to love freely and completely? Now, that's what comes to mind, and you know, that's a big question. And over the last year, especially with a lot of the loss and that I've experienced, and it's something you've heard us say on the podcast before, is like, if you love someone completely, it will break your heart at some point because they won't be there for whatever reason one day. Mm. And so I think that's why we're afraid to love really deeply and completely, is because it comes with that necessary and inevitable other side of things. As for letting people in such a way that they may judge you or leave you or decide that they're not attracted to you or that, you know, they're not okay with who you are. Well, my feeling on that is our job as individuals is to first and foremost take care of our own relationship with ourselves. And you are the only person that you have to spend the rest of your life with. And so if you're okay with those deep parts of you, then it should be your first priority to, if someone else doesn't like it, then for you to be good enough with yourself to not feel like you need to change for anyone else. Mm. I also like to remind myself when I'm about to be vulnerable that if somebody else doesn't like it, then I'm the one that comes out of that situation going, I was honest. I was open. Mm. I put it all on the table. I didn't hold back. And as much as it hurts, if it's not received, if it's not welcomed, that's not on me. because I showed up and I gave what I could. Mm. And it was vulnerable and it was scary. And I can do that because it, in the end, if it does work out, it's worth it. New relationships are hard as well because like you're still figuring out who you are at 22 and I'm 36 and I'm still figuring out who I am. And I need my partner who sees the most vulnerable parts of me to also allow me to change and grow and not hold me to the things that I was before or that I've confided in, you know, like nothing's worse than having someone else dredge up your past. And that's a really important boundary to have too, is like, you know, if and when that does happen, you know, you told me before that you were a cheater in relationships, for example, is like, I told you that, yeah, in confidence and I'm not that, I'm not that now, but you know, I shared that part of my history with you. I think that Brené Brown puts it in really well with the whole trust conversation that we've had before, is just like trusting means, you know, it means that you're trusting someone to not use that information against you. Mm. And if they do, that's on them and not on you. And that's my thought. That's my thought on it.
You are smart. And I am not going to try to say anything else.
No.
On that point, not even a fucking word. Nope. I was just sitting here going, wow. Yeah, you're so good with your words.
It's been a long time since we sat down and chatted like this, just because I've been working and then the hurricane last week and whatnot. So we haven't had a chance to chat. So I've been saving up my brain cells for this conversation.
Yeah,
just for
this one. Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Well, babe, you'll be home. You'll be home soon.
So soon.
Yeah. You've got, there's only a couple, you know, couple weeks and you'll be here.
Yeah.
And which is very exciting. I hope that answered your question. I'm moving on for the listener there. So there you go. yeah, you'll be home soon and we're just getting the house ready to sell. And oh, you got more? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Well, just keep listening to this episode because we talk about the concept of losing one's virginity. Yes. And I think that might be sort of helpful as well, because it wasn't directly associated to your actual question, but you did mention it. And so I wanted to address that, that you're not losing anything.
Yeah, this is just your sexual debut. This is the curtains are drawing and you're...
Break a leg.
Break a leg. Yeah. all right. Well, let's just get right into it then. I'm too excited for this conversation to go any further. This is going to be the best. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. you know, this is, again, Zoe is, if you don't know Zoe, check her out, follow her on social media. She's got a book that is out now. As of now, the book is out and available. We talk about the book at length. You can get the info for that in the show notes. Just so fucking like elated that we have this podcast because it gives us the opportunity to actually meet some of our heroes. And Zoe is one of those people. And so I really, really hope you take from this what I took from it, which was that there's some pretty amazing people out there, and there's a lot of really wonderful and weird and wacky things to learn about ourselves as humans. Yeah. So, without further ado, this is our conversation with Zoe Ligon.
Rhymes with friggin'.
Rhymes with friggin'. Okay, so I want to reiterate what I already just said before we started the recording, which was I am so fucking stoked for this recording because Zoe.
Hi.
Nice to see you. Nice to meet you. I've been a huge fan of yours for the last few years, and I was saying to Bridie earlier, I didn't even realize that we were recording with you until like yesterday, and I got so excited because you are. So for people who don't know, Zoe Ligon rhymes with friggin. Zoe Ligon, you are a sex educator, an entertainer, an artist, a journalist. Save some for the rest of us.
Pick
what
a title, any title. I don't even know what I am anymore.
Yeah. But the way that I came into finding out about what you were all about was through Instagram, and you've been kind of like hardcore on there on the sexual education train, and it's been a really entertaining ride to follow along with you, because not only are you obviously very knowledgeable about what it is you're talking about, but you're fucking hilarious. And
thanks.
So for anyone who hasn't yet, you must go follow. It's a Thongria or Thongria. How do
yes.
you pronounce that?
Thongria. Thongria. But I mean, I always feel like I have to explain this. Like it was just randomly my username on Instagram when I went viral with an article, and I had no idea it was going to be like a identity that I'd be
right.
taking on in some way. So it was really just, you know, something that stuck, but I was never intending to like be an Instagram personality. I was writing articles and I was getting paid like $50 to write like my entire life story, basically, for various, you know, online publications.
Sure.
The one that really caused me to get a large audience kind of overnight was called I've Slept with 99 Men and I'm Looking for Number 100. And it was kind of a joke, but it was effective because it was supposed to be a conversation starter about like slut shaming and like the whole conversation about like how many people have you slept with, because I felt that even when people were trying to have a progressive take on what what your number means, it was still people being like, yeah, like I've slept with 30 people and like I know that's a lot but it's fine. So I was like, well, let me just
blow that out of the water.
Yeah, and yeah. There's so many people who have slept with way more people than I have, but it really is just like, it's not a defining part of my identity, but I just felt like, oh, let me just like throw something up on Tumblr.
Right.
Next thing I know, everyone's like, can we republish this?
Yeah, I think I was vicariously living through you too, because I'm still saving myself for that perfect special someone.
Oh, no, that's so sweet.
You know what? That's a fucking lie. I probably am. I'm probably right up there with you. One thing I am curious about is like, so before this article came out, when did you get into the lane of sexual education? Like
what came first, the journalist or the sex educator?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. None of the above. I was making porn art before either of those things.
Like pornography?
I was taking old porn. Like I have some, you know, just ancient porn sitting around.
Ooh.
And
cool.
I turned it into collage art. And I started doing that when I was like 18. I wasn't really trying to do anything other than just like be creative and express myself.
Were you sexually active at that time? Like what
Definitely.
Was going on? Okay.
Yeah. I started being sexually active when I was 14. And yeah, 14, I like cringe thinking about other 14-year-olds having sex right now.
Totally.
But I really felt like an adult at the time. I was in a very like intense relationship with the love of my life and all that, and it got really toxic and predatory real quick because, you know, teen relationships, oh boy. But I had not had an orgasm before. I hadn't even masturbated until I was like 19, and part of that was because I was like, oh, my hands don't really do much for me, and I guess I like dick and oral sex, cool, so why would I masturbate? I didn't even think about using vibrators. That was like not even on my radar. Mm. Now that is like who I am. But I was making this porn art. I was like bartending at like nightclubs in New York, underage, illegally, just really like, yeah. And that's like a really great way to have a lot of sex also. So I was very sexually active. And I knew a woman. I met a woman through those various gigs who worked for a sex toy store in Manhattan. She was basically like, we're hiring. If you don't want to do this anymore, I feel like you'd love selling sex toys. And turns out I did. And then I just started, like, I've always been a person who loves writing. That's always been my preferred medium for expression besides porn art, you know?
Right.
And I think what really kicked off my desire to get into sex ed was the simultaneous discovery that I needed to use lube in my own life and that a lack of lube was making my life, my sex life suck and be painful and have an internal rug burn at all times. And then it was like at that same time as I was just like, oh, my God, why was I under the impression that this was just for menopausal women? I was so wrong. And so I was so frustrated about that misinformation about who lube is supposed to be for. And simultaneously, I was selling people lube along with their sex toys, which, you know, sex toys are made from various silicone and rubber polymers and have a lot of friction. And I was like having to navigate everybody's lube phobia when I would be like, do you want a lube to go with this very frictiony toy that you're buying right now? And you probably are going to want lube to go with. Mm-hmm. And I would get, you know, like, no, I'm fine. And that, no, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, it was like, whoa, it was like I had just like said something deeply offensive. So I just, because it was so fresh in my brain where like I had also just overcome that hurdle, I was like, ugh, let me just write something because I feel like I'm crossing that threshold of like being what's the deal with lube to like very pro lube. And it just was really easy to write from that place of like, I'm navigating this right now as I talk to other people about it. And that is only reaffirming for me how we've all just been done this disservice by being like, oh, lube is, you know, especially with like wet ass pussy being, you know, a top song right now. Everyone's like, Zoe, what's your comment on the WAP song? I'm like, I don't know. It's a great song, but also like, it doesn't have to be about like, oh, well, my vaginal excretion is so much. I do not need a lubricant. And it's like, okay, well, maybe you're going to want to have anal play at some point in your life. That doesn't self-lubricate. Maybe one day you're just going to be mega dehydrated. Or maybe you're on antidepressants like me and you have a dry ass pussy. And that is okay, too. So,
I can't wait for that single to drop. Dry ass pussy. That's going to be a fucking slapper for sure.
Or maybe your partner might benefit from, maybe.
There you go.
It's a gift.
There you go. It's just another tool that like, just because it's on your bedside table, I'm not going to be a little fairy floating over forcing you to use lube, but it's going to be there for you to maybe use if you want. Like sometimes you want to put hot sauce on your meal and sometimes you don't want to.
Hot sauce on your hoo-ha, right?
Yeah, hot sauce is the opposite of lube. But I mean, actually, that's not true. If you get like a shitty Trojan fire and ice, you know, bad lubricant, maybe it's like hot sauce. But
do you have multiple? Do you have a variety of bottles on your nightstand? Like for different things?
That's such a great question. I mean, just I have one sitting here. Actually, I have two sitting on my table.
Yeah, Intamos are fucking jam. I love that stuff. They're great.
Yeah, these are literally just casually sitting on my table. There's probably a bottle of lube in every room in this house. But as far as my nightstand goes, I have like a big industrial 32-ounce pump bottle of slippery stuff.
Yeah, I love that. Nice. Yeah.
Just because it's like it works and it's a big pump bottle and I don't need to keep getting more of it, you know?
It also works as a great moisturizer. Just there you go. Saying. There you
know.
I was going to say, I think you'll appreciate this, but one of my first jobs ever was I worked at a sex shop in this very, very small town called Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia. And
sounds amazing.
It's the used car capital of Canada.
Yeah, most
my
certainly.
My boyfriend is from Whitby.
Area. Yeah. So I actually got Employee of the Month my first month at Excitement Video because I upsold the most lube. So.
Oh my God, a kindred spirit.
Yeah, that's right. Whoop, whoop for
I lube. Upsold. I love that it's like upselling, like which is a term for like, you know, I think it insinuates you're selling somebody something they don't really need, but you're getting a little extra cash out of it. But it really
Or something they don't really want.
Yeah. But it is like they're. I think everybody could use a bottle of lube. So I think that's a very funny
I agree.
Sales term.
So, I mean, we haven't mentioned this, but, you know, fast forward further on into your life, you're now the CEO of a sex shop.
Yes, indeed.
Spectrum Boutique, which is it's not Canadian, right? You're based out of Detroit.
Yeah. So we're right across the border. Yeah.
You're right there.
See you.
We can stand and wave across. Yeah.
And what was that like? What was it like from going to, working at a sex shop, and kind of like, you know, realizing all these things that you were learning and then eventually, you know, turning into a grown up one day and realizing, fuck, I own my own sex shop. Like that must've been a really neat revelation or experience.
Yeah, it was a really eventful time in my life in many ways. In 2015, I opened Spectrum. I also made the permanent move from New York to Detroit at the beginning of 2015, but had been temporarily living there in 2014 here. I'm in Detroit right now. And also my dad died. So it was a lot of things at once. And they all kind of lended themselves into just like creating one big change in my life. And I would say that's like when my adolescence actually ended at 23. Because being my dad really was a more of a helicopter parent. So he was very intensely involved in my life. So it really did feel like this like emancipation moment. I also had a really complicated relationship with my dad. It was really great and also really terrible. And when he died, he was 75. No. Whoa. Yes. So he was about to retire and I got his retirement fund. And, you know, it's a funny thing to talk about money, but it is really important to me to talk about the money aspect, especially when it comes to starting your own business in the adult industry, because people are like, wow, how did you do this? And I think that people think you can just take out a loan and you can't really do that with sex. I couldn't get approved for any loans. I could barely even open a savings account for my business. I had to shop around to a lot of different banks. You just get a lot of doors slammed in your face when you are selling sex toys. And, you know, no matter what euphemism you try to call it, pleasure products or the word pleasure is very banned as an LLC name. I learned that early on. But I basically just wanted to create something sustainable for myself and my family. And sex toys, I just like couldn't imagine my life not selling sex toys. And I really missed selling sex toys. And it's so funny because I really didn't know what I was getting myself involved in. Like, I hate business so much. I'm like, wow, I'm just a capitalist cog. And I had no idea that like entrepreneurship is part of this American dream that I didn't really, as this very young adult, understand, like, oh, I'm diving into a world of online retail, essentially. And having said that, it was pretty inexpensive to start Spectrum because it is an online store. Ooh. But yeah, I just think that's really important for anybody right now trying to become their own business professional in the adult realm. You have to be really cunning with your finances and find people who are, you know, credit unions that'll work with you. But I think what's really amazing about Spectrum, now that we're 5 years old and we've gone through so many different stages of growth, and, you know, just making it past the first couple years alone felt like such an accomplishment back then. But to now be able to, you know, have a team of people that I work with that really like make Spectrum run without me. I'm very much a part of the day to day, but it's really grown into a little family of people running it. And we have this entire publication side of it that's just full of writing, like education, articles. And even though it is a retail store, that can now fund the educational aspects of it so that it's free for all. So that's where I find myself today.
Yeah. The you know, talking about like the business aspect of it and the challenges faced with trying to start a business in the realm of sex, and, you know, and the hoops that you kind of got to jump through. Did you like it? Is this it? Can the same be said for when trying to create or cultivate a business that is focused heavily on like sexual education, like positive sex education, or is it like more so running up against that bullshit because there's actual pleasure involved?
Yeah, it really just depends where you live and what the specifics of what you're trying to do are. It's not just like banks, but it's also the actual payment processors and website domains. It's literally every piece of the puzzle. And we've had to change card processors, banks, and website domains more than once, even just as like an LLC. And I know that that's a struggle that a lot of other people go through, especially if there's anything remotely pornographic related to it. Like we even ran into issues just like having books with like sensual covers on them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's and it's difficult too, because it's like I love working with adult content creators and I really want to find more ways to collaborate with them. But it's like the second I do a promotion for somebody's porn, I'm immediately going to be like, have some cash yanked away from me by my payment processor. Like they're really, really fucked up. And like, there's no conversation around it because nobody, that's not going in a newspaper, you know?
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Speaking of sexual education, you have just recently launched or are about to launch your new book, Carnal Knowledge.
The pause was me pulling it into frame. But it's coming out on September 22nd. So that's in like a week or two. It's in like 1 week. Wow. Okay. It is 52 sex PSAs, you know, like public service announcements. Kind of like, I would say this book has more breadth than depth. Like, we cover a lot of subjects, but there's only one page on each subject. Yeah. And subjects definitely build off of each other, but it starts out with like anatomy and lube and some stuff that feels a little bit more, you know, not anything can be a beginner topic, but some more basic building blocks. And then we kind of work our way up to more like social political issues, sex work, sex and disability, decolonizing the world of sex, stuff like that. Ooh. So I wanted it to be a book that you could just kind of like pick up and flip through. And even if you're not reading it cover to cover, you're still going to get some takeaways from it, like a coffee table book, but
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit deeper.
Yeah, we got an advanced copy of it, and yay. And it's first of all, it's fucking beautiful. Like, it's a gorgeous book. But I really do like that. Like, you know, it would make for a perfect coffee table book. It's like, flip over to one page and you've got this sweet little like package of whatever it is that you're about to learn about or read into. And I hope it's okay if we like, I don't want to like spoil the book or anything.
Spoil
like
away.
All right, cool. Let's spoil the fuck out of it. Page one. Here we go. there was one thing that I came across that I would love to hear your thoughts on and maybe like kind of dig into. But one of the pages is like the header is use porn as your muse. And I know that, you know, like, through doing this podcast for the last 4 years, we've had conversations. We've had a lot of pro porn conversations. We've had a lot of conversations with people who, you know, have this notion that porn is a bad thing, or porn is or porn is a really horrible form of sexual education for youth, or, you know, what have you. There's many different ways to look at it, and I that one statement, use porn as your muse, really stuck out to me because it's something that I feel like I have been doing without even realizing that I've been doing it. Can you speak to what that means? Use porn as your muse?
Yeah, definitely. I think when we don't have comprehensive sex education available anywhere in the world that's easily accessible, and we live in a world where if you are looking for sex education, you're probably going to stumble upon porn online before you get to something educational and something that is educational and correct information. I mean, people end up relying on porn when there's nothing else that will give you that explicit of a snapshot into what sex is really like. And that ends up really misleading us in so many ways. And I think that non-pornographic movies also do the same thing, not just for sex, but our ideas of romance. Like, I think the concept of a romantic comedy has really fucked up, you know, like, oh, romance is about the chase and, oh, kind of like negging a person into liking you. And the same thing with porn. I can't just pick one thing, but for instance, like, porn teaches us that sex is just like a lot of like deep, hard pounding, and you don't see lube application, and you don't see the flecks of poop that happen from time to time during anal play, even if you've douched, and all the things that make sex a very human thing. And that's not to say that there isn't porn that does a better job of depicting what sex is really like. I think Shine Louise Houston's Crash Pad series and Pink and White Productions does a great job. I think like even kink porn, like the kink.com's porn, does a better job. It's still like movie magic, but, you know, you're seeing a little bit more of a consent negotiation. But there isn't any type of porn that's going to be a realistic depiction of what sex is like or what sex for you is like, because even if you're watching amateur home video style porn and you're seeing the lube applications or whatever, like, it's still not something you can just directly apply to your life. So we have to remember that porn is a beautiful and wonderful thing, but only with context. And the average young person stumbling upon porn probably doesn't have the context to be seeing like, oh, okay, like this is it, cool. This is what balls look like, awesome, whatever they're seeing. But then it's like there's no additional context of like, and the average person doesn't like something just shoved into their orifice or whatever. Again, pick any trope of porn, you know, that the UPS delivery guy wants to fuck you, whatever.
What? That's not...
I mean, it certainly, I'm sure, has happened for somebody out there. I would love to hear that story of that really happening. But
I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit too, because we've had a few conversations lately about the virginity concept.
Oh yeah, I love virginity.
And, yeah, and it seems like, you know, I have a lot of like young nieces and nephews, and I'm thinking about them, you know, in this age group, mm-hmm. finding this information online, and just like it seems to be a concept that holds strong in the world, that, you know, you're either a virgin or you're not a virgin. And if you're not a virgin, then you lost your virginity, or you gave it up, or, you know, whatever, you were deflowered. So I'm just kind of wondering what your thoughts are on virginity in general, and sort of a reframing of it. I've been hearing a lot about the sexual debut being used.
I like sexual debut. I think that I've been getting this question a lot more often lately, and I think that actually has to do with like sexual fluidity and queer sex being a more, not, I don't want to say mainstream, but something that more people are becoming aware of, and like, oh, you know, okay, we need to stimulate the clit. Wow. And sex toys exist. Okay. And now with all these new elements coming into play, I keep getting a lot of questions that are kind of framed along the lines of, I'm a virgin. If I use a dildo, will I not be a virgin anymore? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. That's up to you, actually. Yeah. I personally defined my virginity loss in the stereotypical sense of a penis entering my vagina. But that was not the first time I had an orgasm or experienced pleasure, or, I mean, I had been having all types of manual sex and oral sex before that point. So it really, in hindsight, is a very arbitrary date to be putting so much emphasis on. And I'm sure this isn't true for everybody, but I do think virginity is something you think about a whole lot more before you've past the threshold of the stereotypical definition of it. Like, I don't think that we ruminate on virginity too much when we're sexually active later in life as an adult, but when you're younger, it means a lot. And obviously religion has a lot to do with that. But even if you're not religious, it's like, okay, now this is like a rite of passage and all that jazz. But yeah, it's like anybody who identifies with anything outside of heterosexuality is already asking themselves these questions. And now I see a lot more people who are having heterosexual sex start to ask themselves these questions as well. And I think it just has to do with the increasing awareness of like different types of pleasure. But yeah, I mean, you could define it by the first time you had an orgasm, or you could just like see it as a collection of experiences that lead to your sexual debut. I mean,
in a way, we kind of uphold the pureness of like virginity, even by continuing to perpetuate, just use that language,
because
the virgin, its archetype, you know, is like, you know, sacrificed and all kinds of pedestal like behaviors that are impossible to measure up to. It's like, oh yeah. God, if I'm not a virgin at 36 years old, and I think about all the people I've had sex with and all the things I've done, I am a bad, bad person. I am so far away from virginity.
Now. You get spanking, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people put so much pressure on themselves to pass this to have this rite of passage that we've created as a society, that it leads to riskier sex at younger ages because it's something you just want to get it over with. But I think that looking back, I really wish that I had – it's not like I wish I had waited, but what ended up happening was that I had sex so young that I – and I had such a terrible experience with abuse within that sexual relationship that I didn't have – penis and vagina intercourse again for years. And I had a lot of relationships where we were just having oral and manual sex. And it was almost like more okay because like I wasn't a virgin. So it was okay for me to advocate for oral and manual sex only because it was like, okay, just so you know, I've already done this. Like I'm cool with this, but like I don't want to do it. And I was almost more able to advocate for my needs being like, listen, I've ticked off this box. Like, can we just like get onto the other stuff now? And I felt like I wasn't able to be cool and do those things until I had gotten this other shit out of the way. I think a lot of people put themselves in risky situations where they're having anal sex before vaginal intercourse or whatever makes them feel and more, I don't know, okay. I think it's like you're trying to resolve this cognitive dissonance of the religious shame around sex, even if you're not religious. Like we live in a world where, you know, that's a pretty big theme. No matter where you go, it trickles into every aspect of life. So I think you can be a secular person and still really internalize shame around pleasure and what it means to have had a dick enter your body or not. But it's also like we know sex is so much more than things going into holes, whether it's a penis, hands, a dildo, whatever. So again, that's where I think almost like non-pornographic movies have done just as much damage to our impressions of sex, because it's like being suddenly taken.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like it's this or that. It's like Betty or Veronica. It's still like black so controlled. Were you going to say something there, Jer?
Yeah, I was going to say one of the things that you mentioned there in speaking was like different types of pleasure, or different ways that we find pleasure. And so this is one thing that I don't think we've ever really touched on the podcast before. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brady, but, and it's something that I think like why no better time than now, than to do it with Zoe, while we're talking about your book, Carnal Knowledge, which is coming out September 22nd. So, you know, I'm someone who has a penis. And I know of, I'm familiar with the idea of the P spot, the prostate, but I don't think I've ever had my prostate
milked,
you know, little prostate dingle dangle, and but I will say this, the hardest I've ever come in my life has been times that I've had a finger in my butt, not very far, I don't think. But it's been like you know, a little bit b-hole pressure, and I'm wondering
I love the
if
way
that,
you're describing this. By the way.
I'm wondering if that just like slight b-hole pressure was actually stimulating my prostate, or if to like really really properly do it, there's like
there's a proper way, huh?
A technique. Well, I don't know. I'm asking the pro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like tell me about the P-spot and how do I hit the jackpot with that?
Oh, I love the way you asked this. And it's like there was this stage of like awareness with the prostate that I feel like shifted in our social dialogue around sex in the last like 5 to 10 years. Like all of a sudden pegging became cool. And a lot of that had to do with cultural references, like Broad City had an episode about it. And then all of a sudden it was like pegging in my inbox. And I feel like there was this initial hump we had to all get over as a society of like, it's not what you do, it's who you do it with that determines your sexual orientation. And queer sex, gay sex is awesome, but it is also not defined by prostate stimulation. Like everybody likes that or doesn't like it regardless of their orientation. So I've seen prostate questions like pop up so suddenly and in a much less taboo way. It makes me so happy. Yeah. And I think that then I started to see these conversations that were getting very like, I hate to use this word, but it's like this like elitist prostate vibe of like, yes, I have a hands-free orgasm with nothing but my plug in my ass and I just contract my pelvic floor and I have an orgasm. And like, yeah, people can totally do that. Sure, but I started to see the prostate conversation start to kind of mimic the vaginal orgasm conversation of people who are like, oh, yes, you know, I can just have an orgasm from a dick in me and nothing else, or like just G-spot stimulation. And again, like, cool, but also that's not like, we there's no reason that that is like something you should feel the need to achieve unless that's like really your goal. But that is like tied back into this idea of penis and vagina intercourse being the only valid format of sex. So it started becoming this like badge of honor and also like being on the listening end of this, it made me feel so insecure when I was a younger person being like, I can't fucking have an orgasm that way. Like I need my clit stimulated. And for the vast majority of people, they need external paired with internal stimulation to orgasm. So like, let's take this back to the prostate. The prostate is like different than the G-spot, but it feels very similar in the way that it's stimulated. Like with a dick or a clit, if you touch it, it's going to instantly be like, ooh, yummy, tingles, you know, like that feels good. But with the prostate and G-spot, you know, maybe if you're already aroused, you could give it a delicate stroke and it'll immediately respond. But more often than not, you need to like build up a repetitive rhythm and emotion. And it's like this more like, I don't want to say vague, that's the wrong word, but it's like a more subtle sensation that requires a little bit more patience, awareness, repetitive rhythm. So you can absolutely externally stimulate your prostate. Like that external b-hole pressure surely can, just like some people can just like sit with pressure against the vaginal opening and get G-spot stimulation that way. But also everyone's body is different. Like a lot of the time when you are being penetrated, you're also having your external bits stimulated by your partner's like abdomen or pelvis. So there is still some external stimulation happening there. And this whole conversation also just reminds me of how some people are under the impression that there's like a hierarchy of orgasms, and a lot of this has to do with Freud and the idea of like immature orgasms being external and clitoral and mature orgasms being internal. Like, yes, oh, you're a real sexual adult now. Like, I guess by that definition, I am super immature because I, you know, and obviously like I say this all joking because that is bullshit. I think a lot of us listening to this podcast probably already know that, but like, yeah, if you want a little prostate stroke here and there, or just want to sit with something getting pressure on your butthole or your taint, like, yeah, that's prostate stimulation, honestly. Like, I also love to think about how like, the practice of sounding or inserting something into the urethra is the most direct way you can stimulate the prostate because it like literally passes through the prostate. So
oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody is reaching the prostate, but that is one aspect of prostate stimulation. So I love to just like throw that out there and be like, there's no one right way to do it. And I think some people really like to be show-offy about what they can and can't do sexually. So I love to just kind of blast that away and be like, I don't care if you you know, I don't know, if I, my partner with a vulva just wanted clitoral stimulation, then I'd be like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. Like, I'm not going to pressure you into inserting something into your body. And I start to see that pressure like trickling over to the prostate havers when it comes to a prostate orgasm. Like, I think orgasms are orgasms. We get there different ways, and certainly they all feel different, but there isn't like a class or category that you should be like aiming for, unless like your goal is to like, okay, I just want to sit on this plug and see if I can come. Like, that's a fun game to play with yourself, but yeah, by no means like an achievement you must unlock, you know?
Yeah, time to let go of the baseball analogy, the first base, second base, third base, home run.
Yeah, I forgot what the bases even mean, honestly.
I don't remember either. I think I edited them to communicate activities that I had done that I thought were worthy of those bases. So
Home run is sounding now. If you're not sticking something in your urethra, is it real sex? I don't know.
Can I just ask? How does one? Because I find sounding fascinating, but I like the idea of it terrifies me too.
Yeah.
How do you start that process? How do I sound myself?
Sound off in the comments if you sound. That's a great question. It's certainly, I don't want to say, like, it's not a fetish for everybody, but I think some people would consider it a kink. Like, I think to some people, it's just like putting something in their vagina. It just feels good. It's certainly something that, you know what I've realized is like, and nobody talks about this, but like everyone's urethra is a different size. Like, some people have like a urethra with a bit of a larger diameter and you can kind of see inside of it. And some people have like a pinhole urethra. Again, you know, we're just all different. Just like with any type of penetrative sex, like, you're going to want to use lubricant, probably a sterile lubricant like Sergilube for sounding. But I know this is going to sound a bit strange, but sometimes it's just like the sensation of fullness is what creates the pleasure. Like, that's certainly true for me when it comes to like vaginal penetration. Like, the sensation of being full feels really good. I'm sure every person would describe the sensation of sounding a bit different, but you're like filling up another penetrable hole. Mm-hmm. And I was once told by someone who's a researcher in the world of sex that there's some similarity in the cells lining the urethral canal in a penis with the vaginal canal, and that the urethra in a vulva and a penis are different in other ways. Obviously, length of the urethra is one major difference, but there's sensitive nerve endings in like all parts of your body, especially your genitals. Ooh. So while it's not a sensation that everybody might enjoy, it's certainly possible to get a lot of pleasure. And as I mentioned, you can directly stimulate the prostate that way. Again, it's like something you would certainly want to be careful doing. But when we think about how easy it is to injure ourselves with anal play, even if we're being super careful, I feel like it's like, if we just draw the comparison there, it's like not all that bizarre, because there's a lot of people who just like are like, ooh, something in my butt, no fucking way. And then there's some people who are like, ooh, yeah, things in my butt. I think it's the same thing with sounding. It's just another type of play. And yeah, it might not be as commonly discussed, but I think the more you break it down into understanding why it feels good, as opposed to the immediate clenching of your urethra when you hear about it for the first time, maybe, I just think it starts to make a lot more sense when you break it down into like, yeah, it's a sensation of fullness, and you know, it's going to feel different for everybody.
Yeah. Well, if I ever go down that lane, folks,
let me know.
I'll send you an email. Yeah. Like, hey, I tried it. We'll see. Who knows?
I got to ask, this is just something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. And I'm wondering for you, if it weren't for sort of your company and the way things have panned out.
Yeah.
What at the core of it is your calling? Like, what is it that calls you to do whatever work you're doing?
That's a great question. At one point, my answer was that it's like peacemaking. I grew up in Quaker school. I also went to public school, so thank God I got a little bit of the public school experience as well. But Quaker school is all about like nonviolent communication and peacemaking. And I wouldn't say that I entered the world of sex for that reason. I think that because I am organically just fascinated by it for hobby. And additionally, I really enjoy having the uncomfortable conversations that sometimes go along with it that make other people not interested in talking about sex with the public. I feel like I just have that skill set and desire to do that. And then additionally, I think that it's just the lens and doorway into peacemaking for me personally. I think that there's so many aspects of sexuality once we haven't even gotten into like trauma and abuse, there's so many ways that it not only impacts our sex lives, but just like our entire world. And every major social justice issue has an aspect of sexuality that plays into it, whether that is racial justice, LGBTQ justice, et cetera. Like, it just really, there is an aspect where sex comes into play or where it manifests within the realm of sexuality. And I feel like that is just an area I feel comfortable. Comfort is the wrong word. I just get joy out of navigating it. And I feel like I'm able to use my skills in a way that makes, I don't know, there's just like a harmony in doing it. I've certainly gone through so many different phases with it. Like, I've really taken a step back from doing sex education of any format on Instagram because I just don't feel like it's a space for productive conversations. I think that conversations happen, but honestly, there's too much noise and chatter and lack of an ability to really moderate a conversation or let everybody be heard. And not have it be infiltrated with like hate speech, unfortunately. That social media was a really great place to put ideas on people's radar, but more and more I'm having to take a step back because not only are people not able to engage in conversation there, but my tone of voice and context is fully missing when I'm just making a post online. What I love about a podcast is you can hear my tone of voice and you can just like, it's a little bit more of a human connection than social media, which was designed to be an aspirational capitalist moneymaker. And not that we don't capitalize on books and podcasts. This is capitalism. But I feel like we are at least able to step outside of the algorithm. And the algorithm is what makes social media so toxic and dangerous. This is a long way to digress from what my calling is. But yeah, I think it's like, it's all about peacemaking. And I would have called myself a pacifist up until recently. I kind of feel like there is no way to achieve justice through sheer pacifism in this world, unfortunately. But I definitely come from a place of wanting things to be I do want there to be world peace, and it's like a really silly and far off thing right now. But I think that when we center pleasure, we are decentering a lot of other fucked up shit.
Yeah, because it seems like pleasure is like, you know, all the messaging about pleasure, not just sexual pleasure, but just like, you know, self-care, or you've worked hard, you should put your feet up, or like kick back, you've worked hard, you should get drunk this weekend, or whatever. It's like, you have to earn pleasure. You have to earn the right to enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. And just like I've been just diving into my meditation practice in the last week, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can actually, I don't have to spend a dollar to like enjoy the way the earth smells right now and to just like marvel at the fact that I have a body that can experience sensations.
Yeah. I mean, even self-care is something that was taken from like working class marginalized identities wanting to make like time away from the 9 to 5 of minimum wage. And that is yet another thing that like white capitalism has turned into a way to sell even more products. But at the same time, like, yeah, we all need to fucking self-care. But that's like yet another thing that has like completely stepped out of its original context and become another moneymaker that is co-opted by this larger machine that we all are so ingrained in that we can't even like see how fucked up it is that like we have to monetize shit in order to have it be a part of our lives.
We're coming up to time here, but before we do wrap, you know, talking about podcasting, tell us about your podcast, because I know that you have one as well.
Hot Brain is my podcast with my boyfriend, Mark, and he is not in the sexuality world, but he is like an encyclopedia of social, political information. And, you know, since dating me, has obviously learned a lot about the sex side of that. But while Hot Brain is definitely about sex, it's about a lot of other things as well. Lately, we've been talking a lot about like social media and the way that impacts our lives, and like everything from like conspiracy theory QAnon stuff and like how that has become had a resurgence to like we get people just calling in asking questions and, you know, like, what do I do if I have a crush on my roommate and we're quarantining together? Like those types of questions we get a lot too. So it's sex and more. And I don't know. I think it's just really fun to do a podcast with your partner, as I'm sure you know all about.
The best.
We are familiar. It is quite fun. Well, Zoe Ligon, this is fucking, I'm so, again, so excited.
This has been lovely.
It's been so fun. And again, folks, Carnal Knowledge, Sex Education You Don't Get in School. It is coming out September 22nd. And I don't say this lightly. We had a sort of pre-authorized copy of the book, and it's fucking great. Get your hands on it when it comes out. It's a beautiful book. Congratulations to you, and this has been just an absolute pleasure. Where can people keep up with what it is you're up to? Where can people find you?
I am, I guess, on social media as Thongria and Shop Spectrum Boutique. The shop is spectrumboutique.com, where you can also find the journal, where we have a lot of educational articles written by myself, but also a ton of other people. And Hot Brain is available wherever you get your podcasts. Carnal Knowledge is wherever good books are sold, including Spectrum Boutique. You can get my book there. And, oh, geez, I must be missing something. You can see me naked on OnlyFans if you want, you know?
There you go, folks. Yeah, there it is. Well, again, this has been an absolute pleasure. And I want to say thank you so much for the opportunity and taking time out of your day today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, everyone. That was that. We hope you enjoyed that. I know I did.
I did too.
What a crushable human.
Totally.
Yeah, she's such a babe. And then,
totally.
And so smart. And so she reminds me a lot of my friend Jordan, who is also an extraordinarily crushable human. And Jordan, if you're listening to this, I know that you're not very lovey human, and you don't like it when I give you compliments, but just fucking take it, because you're pretty much one of the coolest humans I've ever met. So cool. Well, folks, hope you enjoyed that. We love all of you. We love our patrons more. And hey, patrons, if you want to watch the foreplay of this episode, just a reminder, you can do that over on patreon.com/turnmeon. And if you're not a patron yet and you want to watch, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of the podcast. This podcast is a labor of love. It is not a job for either of us, that's for sure. So all of your support over at Patreon actually helps keep this podcast alive and running. So go on to patreon.com/turnmeon.
Thanks so much We love you.
Yeah. Brady, why don't you also tell them about our social media?
Oh, why don't you check us out on Instagram if you haven't checked out our bum gallery over at Turn Me On Podcast. I never do this. What's our fucking handle?
At Turn Me On Podcast.
Thank you very much. And also, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com or through our website at turnmeonpodcast.com. There are submission forms if you want to be a guest on the show or if you have a brain boner that you would like us to answer. Apple iTunes, go on over there and rate, review, subscribe. You know, it makes a huge difference in keeping us up on the charts so other people can find us. And, we want to keep ourselves up there and we want to keep doing this for you folks and for all of the, listeners to be. So thank you so much for your time and your fanship.
Well said, Bridie. That is it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.